There are sounds and words that feel as big as pictures sometimes. Poetry could be that way. Hip-hop's combination of poetry and raw emotion can certainly fill a frame with sound and pictures. In this case, the picture of a U.S. president.
An open letter to the fat, arrogant, anti-charismatic, national embarrassment known as President John Adams. The man's irrational. He claims that I'm in league with Britain in some vast international intrigue. Trick, please. You wouldn't know what I'm doing. You're always going berserk, but you never show up to work. Give my regards to Abigail next time you write about my...
It's the award-winning performer Watsky's contribution to the hit Hamilton mixtape, an offshoot of the successful Lin-Manuel Miranda musical phenomenon, Hamilton. Watsky's track is called An Open Letter, and Watsky's been doing spoken word poetry since he was about 15 in the Bay Area. He has several albums, the latest, Time's Infinity, as well as a book collection of autobiographical essays called How to Ruin Everything. Watsky's part of a small but influential group of artists that includes Lin-Manuel Miranda and Hamilton star and rapper David Diggs. Watsky notes that among the pictures we're not likely to see in the coming Trump years are of slam poetry gatherings in the White House. President Obama hosted such a poetry event at the White House early in his first term and invited Lin-Manuel Miranda and David Diggs. It was an event that then Daily Show host Jon Stewart panned. Watsky says Stewart missed the point back then, and he hopes the love of hip-hop doesn't diminish in the coming years.
When Jon Stewart did that piece, a part of my heart died because I love Jon Stewart so much, and I wanted him to love it. I wanted America to see. I wanted Obama to present spoken word to America and America to fall in love with it the way I fell in love with it when I was 15. And I think the fact is it's still somewhat niche. It's still not for everybody because of the nature of it and emotional impact of it. But it was so exciting to see it start to be experienced on that level and have a president of the United States coming out of the Bush presidency, bring it into the White House was unbelievable.
Well, it certainly advanced far from that moment in 2008. But, you know, you've got the chance right now to have America fall in love with your niche.
And then the internet provides that possibility, too. Whereas if you were a musician and in the Saul days and talk about Mos Def, like this constellation of labels that was like Raucous, Def Jux, Rhymesayers in Minneapolis, Quantum in the Bay Area, these quote-unquote underground indie labels that had a niche that was separate from the mainstream really had to be separate because it was pre-internet music sharing. But now the mainstream and the underground are completely cross-pollinated with each other, and because you don't need a major label gatekeeper to approve your stuff, you can do whatever you want. And I think it's resulted for, you know, all the bad stuff that's out there in a golden age of music and creativity and artists who are able to bypass major label gatekeepers to make the kind of art they want to.
Creatively and artistically, what do you want to jump into? What kind of genre, what kind of medium would you love to jump into?
Well, I just finished an album that felt in some ways like a cap to this series of albums that I did that were very autobiographical. And I feel like I've been writing about myself for a long time, although this album was more political than any of my previous ones. I mean, in high school, I wrote like a hip hop spoken word play, and I went to school for dramatic writing. I want to write more stuff that bridges the gaps between genres. There's a lot of my friends doing it right now, and, you know, I don't think it'll be theater, but I'm excited about doing more prose writing, crossing prose and poetry and music.
Do you feel that you're a member of the disability community and that you have to advocate as a member of the disability community as an artist?
Well, for having epilepsy?
Right.
I don't know if I want to take that mantle up just because I don't want to do a disservice to other people who have conditions that affect their lives more on a daily basis than mine does. I mean, I am medicated. I take an anticonvulsant every day. I have seizures occasionally, but I have a lot of epileptic fans that come to my shows, and their conditions are much more serious than mine and have seizures every single day.
You have epileptic fans that come to your show?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
how do you know?
They tell me. Yeah. I mean, I wait afterwards at every show, and I meet everyone who wants to stick around. People send me emails, and there's people who have sent me emails saying, like, we're proud that you're openly epileptic. You have material about it. I have songs and I have poems about it, and I have a chapter in my book about it. And my goal is to acknowledge that I have epilepsy and that it affects my life without being like the quote-unquote epileptic rapper and using it as a crutch to advance my career.
Are you moved to give us a lyric?
Sure. I'd be happy to. This is called Tiny Glowing Screens Part 2. There's 7,046,000,000 people on the planet, and most of us have the audacity to think we matter. Hey, hear the one about the comedian who croaked? They stabbed him in the heart. Just a little poke. But he keeled over because he went into battle wearing chainmail made of jokes. Hey, hear the one about the screenwriter who passed away? He was giving elevator pitches and the elevator got stuck halfway. He ended up eating smushed sandwiches they pushed through a crack in the door and repeating the same crappy screenplay idea about talking dogs till his last day. Hey, hear the one about the fisherman who passed? He didn't jump off that ledge, he just stepped out into the air and then pulled the ground up towards him really fast, like he was pitching a line and went fishing for concrete. The earth is a drum and he's hitting it on beat. The reason there's smog in Los Angeles is because if we could see the stars, if we could see the context of the universe in which we exist, we could see how small each one of us really is against the vastness of what we don't know, then nobody would ever audition for a McDonald's commercial again, and then where would we be? No frozen dinners and no TV, and is that a world we really want to text in? Either someone just microwaved popcorn, or I hear the sound of a thousand people pulling their heads out of their asses in rapid succession. Session that people are hunched over in Boston. They're starting screen printing companies and app stores in San Francisco. They're grinning in Los Angeles like they got fish hooks in the corners of their mouth. But don't paint me like the good guy, because every time I write, I get to choose the angle that you view me and select the nicest light. You would not respect me if you heard the typewriter chatter tap, tap, tapping through my mind at night, the same stupid tape loop of old sitcom dialogue and tattered memories of some girl I got to grind and in high school filed carefully on rice paper. My heart is a colored pencil, but my brain is an eraser. I don't want a real girl. I want a tracer from a catalog. Truth be told, I'm unlikely to hold you down, because my soul is a crowded subway train and people keep deciding to get on the next one that rolls through town. I'm joining a false movement in San Francisco. I'm frowning and hunched over in Boston. I'm grinning in Los Angeles like I got fish hooks in the corners of my mouth, and I'm celebrating on weekends because there are 7,047,000,000 people on the planet, and I have the audacity to think that I'm mad, or I know it's a lie, but I prefer it to the alternative because I got a tourniquet out of my elbow. I got a blunt wrap filled with compliments and I'm burning it. You say go to sleep, but I've been bouncing off my bedroom walls since I was hecka small. We're every agent once and tucked inside ourselves like Russian nesting dolls. My mother is an 8-year-old girl. My grandson is a 74-year-old retiree whose kidneys just failed, and that is the glue between me and you, that is the screws and nails. We live in a house made of each other. And if that sounds strange, that's because it is. Would somebody please freeze time so I can run around turning everyone's pockets inside out? And remember, you didn't see.
That is just fabulous.
Thank you so much. I love writing spoken word. And yeah. It's
And again, you have that excitement that Lin-Manuel Miranda has. You know, like he did at the Tonys. He did that spontaneous thing, love is love is love is love. I mean, I just love where you're coming from, and I just love that at this moment in the 21st century, this is a good thing. People are doing this.
It's really exciting, actually, to see the people who came up through Brave New Voices, which is the poetry event that I feel most closely connected to. It's the National Youth Poetry Slam, and people who I knew as teenagers, you know, when they were the kid who competed against me from Philadelphia, or someone I saw 3 years later who was on the Colorado team, someone who was from Wisconsin, there are so many of them who are now getting published in major journals, who are winning pushcart prizes, who are bringing their work to Broadway and to music, who fell in love with poetry the exact same way I did. I'm one of many young people who represents this tradition, and less younger now than I was when I was a teenager, but who came up through this world and are forming networks, who are breaking down stigmas against spoken word poetry in the print poetry world. And it's really starting to happen, and I think it's just more and more going to filter out there, and to see friends and friends of friends start to make it, it's very exciting.
Watzke, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Watzke is rapper and lyricist. His latest album is called Time's Infinity, and his collection of autobiographical essays is called How to Ruin Everything.